Hey, everybody. So here we are again in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, and we're on our final subject. So let's read it again together. It's, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, as we get into this final part, we're looking at the idea of if anything is praiseworthy. Now, one of the key things to this passage to me is the fact that whatever is excellent or praiseworthy are linked together. Now, there's a lot of Bible commentators that look at that and say, well, this is kind of like the et cetera on the back of a list. So they kind of view it as Paul saying, all right, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy I missed in my other descriptors, just understand if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, that those things are things that you should be thinking about. These are things that you should be focusing on, or as the New King James says it, meditating on. And while I think there's value to that and realizing that he's including everything positive that helps you to grow as a believer is something you should focus on, I can't help but believe that Paul also finishes up here with whatever is excellent and whatever is praiseworthy by linking the two, because these two things are so naturally intertwined. And I do want to get into that, but before we do, let's look at the idea if anything is praiseworthy, okay? The simplest definition of anything that is praiseworthy is a positive thing that's worthy of acknowledgement, something that's worth being praised. Now, many of you guys who are Facebook friends with me saw this week that Melody is up with her little doggy walker and she is just moving around. And so, of course, for Julie and I, we're so excited about this. This is, you know, a huge milestone for her. It's that next phase in her beginning to walk and really just fully developing into her toddler self. And so whenever Melody is up there on that doggy walker, we're clapping, right? We're praising her. Yay, go Melody. We really want her to be able to walk. We want her to move and get around and to experience what it is to just be able to go. And so as we look at the idea of things that are praiseworthy, it starts out with a recognition. It's something that's worthy of positive acknowledgement. And this is true of our efforts as believers to live in such a way that we receive the praise of God. Paul says it in Romans chapter 2, verse 29 this way. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely an outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by written code such as a person's praise. The praise is not from people, but from God. So I kind of butchered that passage, but I think you get the basic idea that when we as believers take on the idea of focusing on what is praiseworthy, we're focusing on a change that is taking place in our heart. We're focusing on something that the Holy Spirit is working on and trying to do in us. And so we recognize when we think about things that are praiseworthy, we're looking at and saying, what can I do in my life to get the praise of God flowing in my direction? How can I please God? How can I make him feel good about who I am? And this is where the idea of excellence and praiseworthy connect so naturally. Okay, because when we look at the nature of God and what makes God happy, what pleases him, we have to focus on what is excellent. Now, there are multiple different examples that we could look at to really look at the idea of praise and excellence going together. But the one that is most powerful and spoke most powerfully to me is the parable of the master who gives his servants bags of gold. He gives one servant 5 bags of gold, another servant 3 bags of gold, and another servant 1 bag of gold. And he gets ready to set out on this trip. And so he gives this responsibility to his servants and says, I'm going away. Do good with this. Take the things that I've given you and use these things for the benefit of my house, my kingdom, so to speak. And so we see that two of these servants strive for excellence. The one that was given 5 bags of gold works hard and gets 5 more bags of gold. That's excellent. He doubles his master's money. The second servant goes out and does the same thing. He takes the money and he doubles his master's money, striving for excellence to please the master. Well, of course, we know that the one who had the one talent made the mistake of thinking, I'm not very good with money. I don't want to lose my master's money, and so I'm just going to take it and I'm going to bury it in a field. And then when he comes back, I'll just give him back what he gave to me. Well, as we look at this parable, it is so important to realize the master's response to excellence. In Matthew 25, verse 21, as he's talking to the man with 5 bags of gold, he says, his master replies, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. You see, when we are striving to use the things that God has given us, so we talked last week about how excellence starts with doing the basics well, right? Getting those foundations laid in our lives, but it also is about building upon those things, right? Because as I study God's word, I start out with the basics. I focus on just simply understanding who Christ is, and I focus on implementing that in my life. And then I try to grow and develop so that the people in my life can grow and develop as well. The better I understand the word, the better I can prepare my son, the better I can equip my family for godliness. And so the basics are built upon, and as we excel in those things, we receive praise from God. God is delighted when we take the things that he's given us seriously, and we try to put those things into effect. But you see, the reality of this too is that there's an opposite side. When we are not committed to excellence in our faith, when we're not committed to growing and developing as believers, God takes that seriously. You see, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 26, when the servant has come back to the master and says, here's the things you gave me. Here's your bag of gold. I knew you were a hard man, and I knew that if I lost this bag of gold, that you would be displeased. And so here's the bag back. And the master looks at him, and he calls him a wicked and lazy servant. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that in your life. If you are not seeking to run your race at the most excellent level, if you're not seeking to please God with the ways that you're going through and doing things, you're looking at God and you are becoming a wicked and lazy person. You're saying, God, you're too much for me. These gifts that you've given me aren't something that I'm capable of doing, and therefore I can't do it. sees that as wicked and lazy. Now, for many of us, we have a tendency to get discouraged when we hear things like this. Because I know that in my life, there have been so many voices telling me what I couldn't be, what I wasn't capable of, what I was going to become. And they weren't good things. That I would just become a tagger on, someone that takes advantage, somebody that doesn't work hard, doesn't put effort in. And having been a lazy teenager, I can understand, why my dad might have thought that that would be the case. But the reality of it is that with those tendencies, then we become discouraged when we don't reach excellence at its highest level right away. And the reason that we become discouraged is because we are thinking somehow excellence comes from within me, right? So excellence is tied to praise from God. Okay, so that's one side of it. Excellence is tied from to praise from God. But do you realize that that flips? Do you realize that praise to God is what gets us to excellence? Praise to God is what gets us to excellence. And I want to share a perfect example of this, because one of the people who would perfectly fit, or at least starting out, would perfectly fit into the category of the man who had one bag of gold was Moses. Wait, what? Moses? The leader of the children of Israel? The one that God selected to lead his children up out of Egypt? The one who was considered the most humble man to ever live? Wait, he was a one bag of golder? Yeah, Moses was a one bag of golder. You see, God came to him through the burning bush, which, I'm going to be honest with you. If you see a burning bush that's not burning up, of course you walk up to it. You go, what is going on here? And then God speaks to him out of that bush. He speaks to him, tells him, look, this is a holy place. Take off your sandals and come and talk with me, because I got a big job for you. And so Moses comes, and he's got every excuse in the world why he's not the right guy. Well, what if they don't listen to me? And so God gives him these great signs. He says, drop your staff. And his staff becomes a snake. He said, pick it up. He's like, okay, now stick your hand in your coat. And when he pulls it out, it's leprous. And God says, stick it back in. And he pulls it back out, and it's not leprous anymore. And so he gives these signs to Moses, saying, you are going to be able to do this. I am sending you. You are going to be able to do this. And Moses looks at God and says, I'm not a good speaker. Pick someone else. I know you think that I'm the guy, but you should pick someone else. Now, I want you to think about this. Like, he has... Not only does he know that he's talking to God, okay? Not only does he know that he's talking to the creator of the universe, the one that put everything together, the one who created our earth so perfectly that it is the only place we know of in the galaxy that is capable of supporting human life. God has created this wonderful and magnificent universe, all of these stars that Moses can look at. And he looks at him and he goes, you know what? You know, you're a pretty amazing God. What you've done is pretty amazing. But I'm not a good speaker. So I think you kind of left that out of your thinking. And I love how God responds to him, because he says this in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you to speak and will teach you what to say. You see, the thing that we have to realize is that there's nothing God's going to ask us to do that we are not capable of. There is nothing that God is going to ask us to do that He is not going to empower us to do. That's why the circumcision of the heart is such a huge and important aspect for believers. Because when God starts to change us, to sanctify us, to purge the old man out of us, we become capable of doing things that we couldn't have even imagined doing before. We see God reshaping us in ways we couldn't even think of. And when God calls us to do things, to perform at an excellent level, we can give Him praise because He is the one that is allowing us to do this. The most praiseworthy thing in the world is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The fact that He died for our sins. The fact that He went to the cross and then He rose again. But closely followed by that is the fact not only that God wanted to take away our sins, but He wanted to dwell within us, to change us, to reshape us, and to make us holy. Guys, there is absolutely nothing on earth more magnificent than the fact, more worthy of positive acknowledgement than the fact that God has equipped you as a believer to be capable to live a holy and righteous life. And when you surrender to that, when you step back away from what you can do and you look at what He can do in you, you start to see how worthy of praise our God truly is. You see, I believe wholeheartedly that when Paul said, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, that he said these things because if you want to please God, if you want to receive praise from the Father, you need to be thinking about how you can live your life in an excellent way, a way that rejoices in Him, a way that honors Him. But it also is true that you can live an excellent life because of your Heavenly Father, and that makes it worthy of praise. So, if anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about these things.